get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Ball Don't Lie, episode 149. We're a day late on our drops. This usually drops on Tuesday, but you'll be hearing this on a Wednesday. I had a lot of things to do on Monday. I was writing a couple articles. Y'all can check that out on Slick. SlickSports.com. You guys check out one of them right now where I'm basically talking about this new era of quarterbacks. I made a nice comparison to the WWE Attitude Era with all the new stars coming together. So check that out. Check that shit out. SlickSports.com. But as usual, we are your hosts, Scott and Dante. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BarberChairScott, at OctoberZonte. Follow the Barbershare Network at BarberChairNet. Subscribe to the Patreon. Patreon.com/BarberChairNetwork. We can catch our other podcasts. We break down Euphoria. By the time you'll be listening to this, our episode 3 recap will be out. So check that out, man. But what's going on, bro? It's been
I'm decent, G. I really can't complain. You know,
outside of the impending Dan Quinn arrival in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I told y'all niggas that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so, you did.
I'm taking a wait and see approach, but right now, you know, I ain't even thinking about it. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, no, okay. I couldn't even get excited about polls because everybody was like, oh, yeah, Dan Quinn's one of his guys. I'm like,
no. Y'all should see his face right now, but I disgust. This nigga's really not feeling it.
I was like, dog, don't tell me that. I was like, y'all playing, right? Like, y'all fucking
with me. There's two people you don't like, Dan Quinn and Rob Manfred.
Man, they about to rob the players. Speaking of them, don't even get me started on that. But, yeah, bro, other than that, I'm decent. But
they're gonna fold. The closer we get to spring training, the niggas are gonna fold. That's what
it's a wrap.
That's what they do. Like, let's be real, the only players association that got any legs to stand on is the fucking NBA. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. But it's been a kind of slow week in the NBA. So, you know, we got a couple topics to talk about, man. Let's start with a topic that involves our Chicago Bulls. Something that pissed me off pretty royally this past weekend, on Friday. One, the Bulls did exactly what me and Mariano wanted to do on third pick last week, and that was just we all knew they're gonna lose Milwaukee, but just keep it in between 10, keep it respectable. They played pretty damn well. Now, definitely they could have won that game. I feel like if Vooch would have passed, would have threw a better ball to DeMar wouldn't have fumbled it and could have had a better look at the three. There's a lot of mistakes, but the number one story coming out of this game, Alex Caruso, in just the second game back, is now out for the next 6 to 8 weeks at the minimum. And this is what I've been trying to tell Bulls fans. This is not, oh, he'll be back in 6 to 8 weeks. He'll be reevaluated in 6 to 8 weeks, which is not the words you want to hear. Reevaluated means we'll see, it could be longer. So at the bare minimum, he's going to be out in 6 to 8 weeks. He had wrist surgery, all because of a dirty flagrant foul by Grayson Allen of the Milwaukee Bucks, which got him ejected but not suspended. And before I go on my rant, I'm gonna give you the floor. What do you think about this? And because I was pretty pissed off about this shit.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, they retroactively suspended on one fucking game, which was trash. But I think overall, bro, that's really disappointing for me because we are now, you know, we're tied with Brooklyn for the 3 seed, you know, half game back. Well, tied with Brooklyn for second, I'm sorry. Half game back on Miami. But we really have the potential with how tight the East has been to slide into that play-in range. Because the Philly's at 6 and they're only 2.5 games back. So when you see an injury like this to a guy who we were really already missing because they had, you know, somewhat managed to make it through. Well, no, I'm not going to lie. They were playing terrible. They had what, lost 5 of their last 7?
Yeah. Yeah, they've been playing like shit. Honestly, keep it a buck. These niggas been playing like shit since the new year came. Even the games we won, they were not playing well.
Exactly. So, you know, the team has really been laboring. And so you're like, all right, well, we get Caruso and Zobat, but then you have Zob with the meniscus. And now you have Caruso break his wrist because of a clown who, you know, has had this pattern of behavior since he was at Duke. And so, you know, this is one of those moments that shows, you know, there are no more enforcers in the NBA. You know, we all knew that already, but like things like this, you know, reiterate that point. And so for me, and then you have the Milwaukee Bucks post a tweet in the morning of Grayson eating a donut. And then, you know, when he does get suspended for the game, they pretty much say that, you know, we think it's BS. And like, it's a joke, bro. So, I mean, I feel like if you the Bulls, as much as you want to like, you know, just play and keep it going, I think you have to protect your players. And so, like, I'm not one to say send somebody out there just to rock his shit, but I wouldn't be mad if, you know, some one of those guys on a two-way deal just so happened to elbow him in the face. You know, I would be okay with that.
I'm old school, man. I believe in retribution. I believe in hitting players with pitches if they do some shit. I believe in all that, which is why I'm probably not a coach, because there's somebody on this Bulls roster who can, nigga, throw Tony Bradley out there. Like, there's somebody who can worth getting ejected or be suspended for a game or two. My issue was this. My issue was with the way, not even about the NBA suspending him, because I didn't really expect him to get suspended that long anyway. How long did Jokic get suspended when he did that shit to the Morris brothers?
Yeah, I think I want to say he got a game.
It was like a game.
Nothing crazy.
It was like,
punch a nigga in the face to get a long suspension.
Right. That was Markieff. Markieff still hasn't played since then. So, you know, I wasn't expecting a long suspension or anything, but this is the issue I had. I had an issue with the Bulls players for not reacting, slamming one of your team captains to the ground. I had a problem with Grayson Allen smirking, which is why I also had a problem with why they didn't handle this nigga. And I have a huge problem with the way the Milwaukee Bucks handled the situation. I'm not saying you got to throw your guy under the bus. I'm not expecting Coach Bud or Chris Middleton in and throw their teammate or a player under the bus. I'm not expecting that. But they basically went up there and framed it like he was wrongly suspended.
Yep.
And that's what kind of pissed me the fuck off. And I was also mad just on a Bulls fan perspective, because it's like, nigga, we can't ever get a fucking break. Like, I seen the stat the other day that said the Bulls are 11-5 when they have LaVine, DeRozan, Vooch, Caruso, and Lonzo. 11-5. Does that mean these niggas have only played 16 games together?
Yeah.
16 games together. And it's like, as a Chicago sports fan, there's always injuries. There's always fucking something. We can go back, you know, if you look at the miracle season of 2018 with the Bears. Remember that interception that Eddie Jackson had on Aaron Rodgers to clinch the division? That was a gift from the curse, because the nigga never played again the rest of the season. He missed the playoff game. What was that that phantom injury that Trey Burton had? He was one of our leading receivers. He didn't play the fucking playoff game.
I think he had like an anxiety. They claim he had an anxiety attack, but then somebody I know said he got like hurt at a party or something.
Yeah, he got hurt. Nigga had surgery. He had surgery after that, like a week after double one. So it was hurt. Then with the White Sox, we all excited about the White Sox last year. Nigga, training camp, spring training, Eloy gone. Then fucking Luis gone. Then Grandal. Like, it was, you know, Tim Anderson missed last, 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
So it's like with Chicago sports, there's always something. So I was a mix of mad at Grayson Allen, and also mad at the fact that with Chicago sports, feel like we don't get no fucking break. But as far as the next matchup, which is March 4th, at the United Center, this is probably not going to happen because it's the NBA. And like Shaq, like I said, the NBA, or the Shaq or Chuck said, the NBA stands for number actors. So I'm not expecting it. But there should be a nigga that's in there whose sole job is to knock this nigga on his ass. Like, somebody.
Absolutely. You know,
somebody has to do it. Somebody take that foul, get ejected, whatever the fuck they got to do. Because that shit can't be called for. And Grayson Allen has the history of this shit. It ain't like this is just some shit that happened one time. You're like, oh, what's a bad foul? That's not the type of dude he is. This nigga's been doing this punk ass shit since Duke, and nobody's checked his ass about it, and that's why he's gonna keep doing it. So niggas need to check him. And we all know, let that have been Giannis who was slammed out the middle of the ground. They'd have fucking called the National Guard on the Bulls. So that's the problem that I had with the whole shit, man. But more than anything, I'm just upset about the injuries the Bulls have. And we didn't get to talk about this last week because this news came over the weekend, the last couple of days, with Zoe and his surgery. This team is in a tough situation right now. Now, by no means does this mean that, you know, they're going to fall. I don't believe they're going to fall out the top four, because I don't think anybody in the top four is going to run away with it. But AK got some work to do over these next couple weeks. AK, I think this trade deadline and buyout went from, we'll see what they might make some moves, to niggas have to make some moves. Because even, you know, these dudes are going to be out for 2 months. And when they come back, it's going to be a different team. So they only going to have, 3 to 4 weeks to get chemistry together before the playoffs start. So there's a lot of questions about how this is all going to work over these next couple months.
Yeah, definitely, bro, because I'm with you, especially if, you know, if AK and Mark decide that they want to make a move, you know, to make sure that they don't slip out of that top four. You know, they've been rumbling, they're trying to see how they could acquire Grant without giving up P. Will, even though I think if you make any move, P. Will is probably going to be a part of it. So I'm not sure if they want to do that. Now, me personally, I'm not as high on P. Will as other people. So depending on who you got back, I wouldn't mind it.
This
so
is
I
my
think
thing.
That's something
that this to, is my to thing look out for. On P. Will. I have a high opinion of what his ceiling is, but I think at the bare minimum, before they trade him, unless you get somebody who is a great player, and I'm not talking about Jeremy Grant, unless you're getting a great player, I'm not trading him off for the simple fact that he's 20 and you need to at least see what you have.
Yeah. Like, and I agree with that. I agree with that.
Just because we don't want a George Hill Kawhi Leonard situation. You know what I'm saying? Where the Pacers let go of Kawhi like that. They didn't see what they had in Kawhi, and now you're giving up a future Hall of Famer for fucking George Hill. So I feel like they at least now, if there was like a situation where you can get a guy who, you know, I'm definitely trading him. It's not that I feel like he's untradeable. I just want to see, because he hasn't played enough. Like, I am more sure of Io than I am of Pat, and Pat's been here a whole year longer than Io. Just because of how quick, like, even when Pat's playing, there's questions of his aggressiveness. So I want to see. I want to at least get me a full season of Pat before I'm like, okay, I'll trade this nigga. But at the same time, I trust AK and Mark Eversley enough that if they did decide to make that move, I will be fine with it. They have pretty much have a clean slate with me. They have not fucked up, in my opinion, one time.
I would say they damn near batting 1,000. Yeah. And at least in terms of where we are and where we expected to be, because like a lot of us were saying, I know we were optimistic, but that's part of just being from Chicago and being Bulls fans. But a lot of people had them as the fucking 12th seed or saying they were just going to be a play-in team at best. But as we've seen, only the injuries have derailed this squad for the most part. Like, even like the blowout win, the blowout loss rather against Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying? They were in it until about midway through that third, and then, you know, shit went left. So you saw how they played against the Bucks, and they were shorthanded against the Bucks. So this is a team that's going to compete. So I think given that, like I said, I got all faith in them. So like I said, I'm not opposed to waiting and seeing, but if Mark and them say, hey, we got a deal on the table where we can get somebody back that we feel can really keep us where we need to be, and then when we get our full team back, catapult us to that next level, then I'm with it. Because, like, I was all on the John Collins. Not saying you'll trade P. Will for John Collins, but
that contract kind of scared me about
but
John
see,
Collins.
But the reason I wouldn't mind that is because we saw the way that they moved this offseason with all
this
of the final
true.
Trades.
That's a good point.
They're smart. They know how to maneuver. So I think I'm with you when we say, you know, they ain't missed yet. So I'm a rock with them until they give me a reason to complain.
So here's a question for you before we get off the Bulls. And of course, if you want more in-depth Bulls analysis, you can take our third pick every week. A little cheap plug for you right there. What's your educated guess on what you do think AK and Eversley will get? Now, of course, we don't know. AK keeps shit silent. You know, he got them phones is covered, and we keep hearing news that they're still trying to find a way to make a Jeremy Grant trade work, even though he wants to be a number one option. And wants to be paid like one, which is like, if you're going to be like that, I don't want no parts of that nigga. But what's your educated guess on what you think that how they'll probably move before the 10th?
Yeah, I think they're going to definitely look for somebody that can fill that stretch four position, you know, not necessarily being a traditional stretch four. And this is even somebody like a Harrison Barnes. I think that's somebody to keep an eye on. I know we talk about contracts, but again, like next year, that'll be an expiring deal. So if they did want to get rid of him, they could just move him. So I think a guy like that. But one thing about AK and Mark, you know, a lot of the moves they've made have really damn near been like, I just out of left field. Like,
yeah,
we'll be looking over here, and then we finna do this. And
bro, predictable AK move to happen was Lonzo. Everybody and their mama knew the Bulls was gonna get Lonzo, like back in February of last year. Yep. Everything else came out of left field. Nick, when we got Vooch, we was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, so, I agree, bro. So that's why I said, like I say, I would like a guy like a Harrison Barnes, but I think it also, we still, if they aren't too aggressive in the trade market, then the buyout market is coming as well.
Yeah, that's true. And, I do think this team is going to be drastically different by the time the Super Bowl kicks off. By the time we're kicking off of the Super Bowl SoFi Stadium on, what, the 13th? Is that what day is the Super Bowl? Is it the 13th?
I want to say. Because wait,
it is the 13th. Yes, it's the 13th. 13th of the Super Bowl. So, yeah, by the time the Super Bowl kicks off, the Bulls are going to be a much different team. That's my prediction on that. But, and by the way, on a non-basketball note, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa did not make the Hall of Fame again. Like I told you before
off the bat, you saw my fucking face when I turned around and saw the TV, and they elected David Ortiz. I'm not going to rant on this one. Let's just hope they get a CBA signed so I can talk about this on the fucking White Sox podcast. That's unbelievable, but
Yeah, I just want to tell y'all, we do have a White Sox podcast coming. Me, Dante, the homie Mikey, if you watch my show, I'm not going to hold you. You know Mikey does a gambling segment. We have a White Sox podcast coming. As soon as the deal gets signed, we're going to do the first episode and lie to ourselves about potential free agent targets for this our baseball team. And we just signed Oscar Colas. That's probably going to be a DH next year.
Yeah, and a 15-year-old from the Dominican.
Right. I was like, what the? This nigga got braces? What the fuck is this?
They said he just left a quinceañera? What the fuck
is going on? Yeah. Mikey texts you like, yo, he's like one of my fucking cousins. So, you know, when that does happen, which we'll check that out. And by the way, people forgot that David Ortiz got caught using steroids too, which is another thing that kind of blows me about this whole thing. But I actually might talk about that on the show. Matter of fact, I'm gonna add that to the rundown. So anyway, let's get to the other team in the Eastern Conference that the Bulls will be battling with for in those top seeds, the Brooklyn Nets. Sounds like our guy, James Harden, is fed up with Kyrie Sebi shit. There's reports coming out of Brooklyn that he is 100% testing free agency this year, which even if he was happy, we all fucking knew. If there's one thing James Harden, first time in his career, there's one thing we know about Harden, this nigga's about his money. But now he's saying that he's upset with Kyrie because he's basically out here to do a whole bunch of shit by himself at these home games, because you're not going to have KD for the next 2 months and Kyrie can't play these fucking home games. And so he's thinking about not just this season, but long term. What's going to be the thing with Kyrie? And that's going to be something that's going to keep him away from the team. And then also we have these rumors of him wanting to go to Philly, play with his boy Daryl Morey, who gave him that big ass contract, and to go play with Joel Embiid. And we'll get into Ben Simmons in that situation in a moment. But my personal opinion on this is I think that I won't say the Harden's gone yet, because KD wants him. Now, Kyrie, I'm done predicting anything about what Kyrie's going to do. I treat Kyrie like Antonio Brown now. I don't know what them niggas are thinking, and I'm not even going to continue to guess what them niggas are thinking. But I know KD is his boy. Him and KD have been tight since he was drafted. And the Nets have ownership team who don't give a fuck about spending money. So the money will be there. And I actually think Brooklyn can pay him more money than any other team. So the money will be there, and it's still New York City. So I don't think it's out of the question of him returning for Brooklyn. But I do think that all depends on how this season ends. Is Kyrie going to get the vaccine? Are they going to get eliminated early because they don't have Kyrie? Are they going to win the championship despite that? Maybe that might change because he has his title. What do you think about this report, and what do you think is going on in Harden's head?
I'm really not surprised. And like, as much as we want to talk about the outside factors, the taxes, you know, moving from Texas to New York, not wanting to live in Brooklyn, because, you know, everybody was like, oh, well, he rich, he can live anywhere. But as crazy as traffic is, people, the Barclays is in Brooklyn and their training facility is in Brooklyn. So a lot of the players live close in that area or whatever. Yep. So that don't really surprise me, but I think the main issue is the Kyrie. Like, yep, he came here and said, you know, I'm willing to just run point. I don't have to carry the load. But now here we are, fast forward, and now that's exactly what he got to do. It's like, all right, KD out. Kyrie is, like we say, some weeks he may play 2-3 games if they're on the road, then he's not going to play again for another 7 or 8 days. So it's like, with the inconsistency with Kyrie, I actually feel him on that frustration. But my main thing is, like, everywhere he's gone, they've done whatever he wanted, and he still hasn't won. Marcus Spears from NFL Countdown, what he said about Aaron Rodgers. He's like, there's been a lot of fuss for not a lot of winning, like not a lot of production, for all of this, all of the complaining you're getting. So yeah, I feel him on that. And also, you know, year 13, never being able to test free agency, he should do that. But the primary issue with this is Kyrie Irving. It ain't none of the other shit they talking about. They trying to name. I understand the strippers in New York don't get fully naked like they do down here in the South, but it's a basketball reason. It's the fact that he came there and said, yo, I'm going to take a back seat so we can, you know, collaborate to win this ring. And now he's doing way more than he was supposed to be doing.
I agree with that, man. It's going to be this whole thing about this whole Brooklyn experience has really been funny, because none of it has really worked. Like, if you look for them, I said it when it happened. And this is, I think New York is a great city. I love New York. New York is one of my favorite cities on planet Earth. But just from I think California is the greatest state on planet Earth. Number one, the fact that you have a situation in Golden State where the offensive load is so much lower than what it would be here. And you've got a guy who's not a nutcase in Steph Curry. And, you know, you got a guy in Klay Thompson who's not a nutcase. And I know Draymond be wilder, but he's not a nutcase. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that could have been resolved. And that could have been something that he should have stayed there. This whole Brooklyn thing, he comes there fresh off of injury. The first season is just Kyrie. Then they come back. They get Harden. Ain't none of them niggas play together. It's always a suck fucking injury. Even the playoffs against Milwaukee. Kyrie got hurt. Then Harden got hurt. It was like KD by himself. And now you got this situation where they're all healthy. And here comes Kyrie not wanting to take a vaccine. So it's like, if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, all five of y'all, I would be frustrated about how this has worked out. Because I don't really see – I don't think they're going to win a championship. I don't. And I don't really – I would not be shocked if we're sitting here a year from now and it's just KD. I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked because Harden can go. And then who knows what happens with Kyrie if he just decides not to take this fucking vaccine. Because this part-time shit is not going to work. Like, these niggas are even losing road games because there's no consistency.
Bro, the shit is a joke. Like, yeah. It's really a fucking joke. And it's crazy. And, like, I know – you know, everybody has their rights. You do what you want to do, but it's like, come on, bro. Like, you're really jeopardizing
a chance for a championship. And you're being a bad teammate, if anything. If anything, you're being a bad teammate. And that's just why I room rock about it. But let's talk about the team that, you know, he's rumored to go to, James Harden, Philadelphia 76ers, man. Joel Embiid having a career year. He's been healthy, which is the number one thing. We usually always get hit with a Joel Embiid injury around this time of year. He's been healthy. They're balling. They're top 16 in the Eastern Conference. But we still got that the other mysterious situation that since July, I feel like there's been two people we've been talking about, Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons, since like July of last year. And both of those situations still ain't really resolved. You got Daryl Morey going on the radio talking about this is going on through next year. We haven't heard nothing from Ben Simmons. We haven't heard nothing from Rich Paul. It's radio silent on that side. We've heard about rumored trades. We've heard about a trade where Sacramento would have gave up Halliburton and a couple others to get Ben Simmons. We heard about the Atlanta rumors. I don't know what the fuck is going on. And to me, if I was a Sixers fan, I'd be pissed off because I feel like you're wasting Joel Embiid's prime by not surrounding this nigga with talent. Ben's not gonna change mine. And by the way, Ben's getting fine. I know a lot of people, Ben's been getting fine from missing these games. So it's clear he don't give a fuck. And if you watched his Showtime documentary when he was at LSU, I could tell you this nigga don't give a fuck. So he is, I don't even know if he's in Philadelphia right now.
He just got married. So he just got married a couple weeks ago. So
he got married?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, he married Shorty?
Yeah, Shorty from overseas.
This fucking bastard here. But anyway, I that's another reason why I feel like this nigga don't give a fuck.
Not concerned with basketball.
Be concerned with basketball either if I was married to her fine ass. But anyway, I don't know what they can do. And I think Daryl Morey needs to, and Daryl Morey kind of reminds me of like a GM version of Scott Boras, where this nigga just really thinks he's the illest nigga ever. Now, granted, at least Scott Boras is one of the best agents out there, so he has a little bit more of a right to brag. What is Daryl Morey won? He ain't won shit to be acting like he's fucking Jerry West. Cut your losses, trade this nigga for what you can get. That rumored Sacramento package would have been perfect, and Sacramento's dumb enough to do it. Yeah. Fuck with what Ben Simmons wants. He's under contract. He don't get to choose. Send this nigga somewhere. Get your franchise player. I mean, Embiid putting up numbers that even Iverson didn't do shit. We ain't seen since Dr. J and Wilt Chamberlain. Get him some talent to surround him and at least give you a fighting chance in the Eastern Conference. Because right now you're wasting this talent and you're honestly wasting your fan base's time.
Yeah, bro. Like, especially with Embiid's injury history, bro. Why would you sit here and waste this year? Like, I don't care how, like you said, how petty you want to be, how much you think you can get X, Y, and Z for him. I think they should have been ultra aggressive in trying to move him. Like you said, I agree when you say it ain't about his demands. It ain't about what Rich Paul says. Oh, we want to go to this team. Fuck all that. Like one thing we do, we don't take into consideration, but like for a lot of these teams, for the most part, when they make these type of moves, it's on good terms. Like Harden was the one who forced his way out But for the most part, when these superstars get upset and they want to go, like, they go to the front office and they're like, all right, bro, we're going to work this shit. But with a guy like Ben, when y'all aren't communicating, when he hasn't been responsive, him and his representatives, then fuck it. Like you said, I would trade him to Sacramento, trade him to basketball purgatory, whoever offers you the most, give it to him. That's irrelevant. His happiness in that situation would be irrelevant to me just based off the way that he's been acting. So I'm with you. If you Daryl Morey, this whole, oh, well, I need to, you know, keep my poker face on and see what I, fuck all that, bro. Like, Embiid is going berserk out there, and he doing this shit to be the sixth seed.
To be the sixth seed, like, they've been on a tear, and them niggas ain't moved up at all.
At all. They ain't
They ain't moved up a spot. Cleveland, the Bulls, Miami, and Brooklyn, Milwaukee, all been saying, fuck out of here. So that's the biggest indictment right now to this team, is that you're wasting your superstar's prime, man. And that's just really unfortunate for Sixers fans and for Embiid. But let's get into another team. I feel like we talk about this motherfucking team every motherfucking week. But the Los Angeles Lakers, again, Anthony Davis, that fraud Packer fan, and I call him a fraud Packer fan because he wore a fucking Niners jersey at some game last week when his team was getting ready to play the Packers and ended up eliminating the fucking Packers. Fraud AD. But anyway, this nigga, now I'm recording this, it's Tuesday, you'll hear this on Wednesday. He's returning tonight in Brooklyn against the Nets. Question here that everybody wants to know, will AD's return help the Lakers? Now, I think it's a two-part answer to this. Yes, by default, you get a player, multi-time all-star, like Anthony Davis, you add him to your team, by default, he's going to help you. But it's not going to help that much. This team, if you look at the records, they're 500 team with Anthony Davis, they're 500 team without Anthony Davis. Just to understand, LeBron missed a nice amount of those games when Anthony Davis was playing. But they lost a lot of games with just AD and Russ. They shouldn't have been fucking losing. And so, yes, I think they'll be more competitive. It'll help. But AD is not playing like AD all fucking season. Until he gets back to his defensive principles, none of this shit is going to matter. We can sit up here and talk about roster construction. It's terrible. We can sit up here and blame Russ, which I still think is stupid, no matter how bad Russ is playing. Y'all know who kind of player Russ is. LeBron out here battling his ass off, you know, dropping 40 points to still lose to Miami, you know, 40 points to lose them to fucking Minnesota and niggas like that. They're not playing defense. That's the number one problem with the Lakers. They cannot play defense. They are a bottom five team defensively. If I'm not mistaken, they're ranked 28. That's the issue. Don't blame Vogel. How's it Vogel's fault for not finding a perfect rotation with a shit roster that is Rob Lowface's problem? And Pelinka built this mess. LeBron called these old ass niggas together. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's to the point where, like, we up here talking about, oh, first play with 3,000 blocks and this niggas lost. Niggas got the ass whooped in the game. He did all that shit. Like, what are we doing? So to me, it's like, I'm tired of hearing about the Lakers. I understand what we talk about them. They are basketball's Yankees. I get it. But this team is mediocre. With AD, without AD, they're mediocre. And I think at the most, their ceiling is to just make a first round series. And if they're lucky, beat maybe Utah some shit. But besides that, these niggas are cooking. I don't think AD is going to really help that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's funny. I wonder if LeBron going to delete that tweet he put at the beginning of the season. Keep that same energy.
Yeah.
You should have thought that one through, big dog. Like,
right.
This is a team that was poorly constructed from jump. We all saw it and we all gave him the benefit of the doubt. But like you said, the defense has fallen off so much. Like, they're so bad. And everybody acted like, you know, getting rid of KCP, who was damn near their best defender last year. You know, you got rid of him. You replaced him. You brought A.B. Bradley back, who hasn't been the same. You know, he shows his flashes, but it ain't the same. You know, Bron played defense in spurts.
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis, like you said, between the injuries and just not being as the aggressive Anthony Davis we know, it hasn't been the same. So I'm with you on this, bro. Like, at what point, I mean, at some point, we're already there, but everybody else has just, this is who their squad is. Like you said, they're 23 and 24 right now. I think, you know, by the end of the season, they'll be right in that 6-8 range, honestly. Because you've seen Minnesota take strides and Denver's hot. And, you know, if they run it, if it comes down to them playing those teams, I like both of those teams over the Lakers. So I think Anthony Davis bringing an all-world player like that back, obviously it's going to be an impact. But at the same time, with that roster being as bad as it is, bro, it really don't mean much.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much what it means, man. It's like at this particular point, there's nothing they can do.
But I saw something that was saying people keep throwing out this whole swap fucking John Wall for Russell Westbrook, which
okay,
that is backwards. That's one thing we keep saying. You know, we think teams need to make moves. There isn't really a move.
There's no move to make
that moves the needle for the Lakers like that.
Russell Westbrook has the lowest trade value in the NBA. Lowest trade value in the NBA by far. There's nowhere to go. Like, you out here, y'all dangling THT, and even some of the draft picks they can give up. The team that's getting them wouldn't be able to use it for like a couple years because of the AD trade.
Yeah.
So your fucking picks don't even have any fucking weight. I know Laker fans would like to hear this, and I know that from living around these motherfuckers. And when you have the standard of excellence that the Lakers have had, it's championship or bust. Let's just say they get lucky. The Lakers' version of hot is they get to the second round, right?
Yeah.
They're going to lose. And if you, with this team, that everybody was talking about championship, you're not going to win a championship. You're not beating none of the top contenders. They actually try to get their ass kicked. So it's like,
now they're getting smoked.
Like, it's not even going to be close. Yeah, it's not even going to be close. So if you're the Lakers, you just got to ride this shit out. You got to ride this shit out with AD and LeBron, and then maybe next year we'll be able to cut some ties with some of these players and try again. I mean, LeBron, I know we sit up here and say, you know, he's the ageless wonder, which is true. I mean, he's jumping pretty high for a nigga that's 37. Now, I give him that. He's hooping. But he don't have that many years left. Shit, we might have seen his last championship.
In that bubble.
You know, whether, you know, them allegations hold up of it being a real championship or not, whatever. But that might have been the last time, because it's kind of a situation where I look with the NFL, like with Brady and Rodgers. The young bucks are saying, fuck y'all. We don't care what you niggas did in the past. Yeah, Brady, you the GOAT. Yeah, Rodgers, you've been one of the best quarterbacks. This our shit now. And I feel like some of the youth in the NBA is telling that to LeBron. It's our shit now. You know what I'm saying? The OGs is KD is an OG now. Steph is an OG. You got players who got drafted to say, oh, I watched Steph Curry in high school. So it's like, these are OGs. It's like LeBron is getting to that phase where, yes, he's playing well, probably greater than any player we've seen in his age play that well. You know, Mike was out of the league at 37. You know, and then he came back course a couple of years. He wasn't playing like how LeBron's playing right now. So I give kudos to them. But as far as winning, and we know that's what LeBron's bottom line is, I think that's just a wrap. Yeah. I think it's a wrap. So, but let's move on to another West Coast team. Talk about the Warriors, man. The Warriors have been going through a lot lately. You know, Steph is still shooting like shit. Somebody, yeah. I think somebody put a meme up and said Steph's shooting percentages look like tour dates, 7 of 28. So I was like, yeah, dude, like he hasn't been playing well. Klay's come back, but Klay's dealing with some knee soreness and that surgical repair knee. And if you're a Chicago Bulls fan, what do we know about some general soreness, nigga?
Slow process, boy.
And on top of that, worst news coming out for Draymond. Draymond's been out the last couple weeks. With a leg injury that's even touched through like a disc in his back. And this was said by Mark J. Spears of ESPN's The Undefeated. He reported yesterday that Green's absence is likely to continue because of the uncertainty surrounding his back injury. This is the exact quote he said. He still has another week before the Warriors reevaluate him. But right now I keep hearing there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm wondering if perhaps this could go a little longer. He has been out since January 9th. What's your concern level on this?
My mind. Like, with Draymond, especially because defensively, you know, so much of his talent is, you know, his lateral quickness, his ability to switch, his ability to guard multiple positions. And, you know, if you got a fucked up back, you can't do that. You know, he'll be at least a shell of himself, like you said. Like I said the other week, you know, I remember, you know, as a civilian, when I had a back injury, like, you could barely put your socks on. So imagine trying to go out there and guard motherfuckers. You know, trying to run up and down the court. And so that's something you definitely got to, you know, monitor closely and can really affect their season. I know we talked about off air, you know, Clay, that's more so, we not as concerned with that one because that's just more so of a guy who's just come back from playing basketball, from not playing basketball for two full seasons. So we expected the soreness and all of that. So I think that one doesn't require that much, you know, to look at, but this Draymond shit is very serious.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, man. My concern is a 9 for both parties. My concern is a 9 mainly for Draymond because of his health. And my concern is for the Warriors a 9 because as great as Steph Curry is, they're not winning a championship without Draymond Green. I think it's going to be hard for them to win a championship with Draymond Green just because of how much I believe in Milwaukee. But Draymond is the anchor of that team. Not just defensively, he keeps that offense going. Like Clay said, when he came back a couple weeks ago when they played Milwaukee, he said, yeah, right now I'm dribbling, but when Draymond gets back, I'll get my easiest shots. So that's going to be a problem there in general. As soon as I heard disc in the back, I was concerned, and I knew it was way deeper than what they're saying. And now you got Mark Spears saying this. That raises cause for concern. If he's going to be reevaluated, and if you're the Warriors, you don't want to rush him back. A disc in the back is nothing to play with. So I'll be concerned for both teams. As far as Clay, I'm not concerned about Clay. That type of shit happens when you're coming off knee surgery. It's going to be annoying more than anything for Clay and for the fan base. It's going to be a lot of stop and go. A lot of stop and go. He plays a couple games, just a couple games. Play a couple games. So we, from 2013 to the moment D Rose left in 2016, that was our life as Bulls fans. Like, if I had a dollar for every time I'm getting ready to watch the Bears game and I get a KC Johnson tweet, Derrick Rose out today with general knee soreness. Like, it happened all the fucking time. So that's going to be something that's going to be the Warriors fans just have to accept. And so that's going to be the Warriors right now. They've been playing like shit lately, too. Yeah. They've been playing like shit outside of when they beat the shit out of the Bulls. They've been playing like absolute garbage. Like, Steph is kind of – I feel like ever Steph broke the record, he ain't been playing as hot. I don't know if it's because of that or maybe the little off-field drama that people been talking about. I don't know what it is. I mean, off court. But Steph got to get his head in the game because Klay is not going to be Klay probably till mid-next year. So the Warriors got a lot of issues right now, man. And, you know, I think right now we're seeing across the league, everybody's dealing with something. Yeah. I don't think there's a team that's on cruise control. Even if you look at Phoenix, as great as they've been, I can't remember the last time I saw DeAndre Ayton play. So everybody is dealing with something right now. You just got to get through the tough times of an 82-game season. I think us as Bulls fans, we've forgotten just how long an 82-game season is because we've been fucking bad for so many damn years that you're going to have these types of ups and downs, man. So, and I just want to say about that game against OKC last night, I've never been more unsatisfied.
Oh, yeah, that was disgusting.
With a win in my life, bro. Like, there's no doubt in my mind if there was 30 seconds left in that clock, they would have lost that game.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
They were trying to get that bitch away.
Trying, and that's the biggest thing that scares me about Zach in the postseason. This nigga's basketball IQ at the end of close games, when niggas is really playing defense, is Westbrook-like. And it scares me. And you really miss DeMar's calming presence, but even that scares me in the playoffs because DeMar ain't been good in the playoffs. So those are the two type of questions. The closer we get to the playoffs, when I'm thinking about, okay, what's going to annoy me about the Bulls? But one last time before we get to our power rankings, man, as we've seen in the NFL, the rising of new rivalries with all these new young quarterbacks. As I said in my article, I feel like Allen and Mahomes is going to be this generation's Brady Manning. I even compared it to WWE where it's going to be the Rock and Stone Cold type shit. So do you think that the NBA has a rivalry that's going to come up to kind of help them, like between two players that can help them into this new era? Or is that just dead for the NBA?
I think that's dead for the NBA. It's too much buddy-buddy camaraderie. Like, you get your old school rivalries, you know, every once in a while, the Bulls and Heat get chippy, you know, Bulls Knicks get chippy, Bulls Bucks, you know.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of those are, like I say, either old school rivalries or just, you know, geographical. For a while, people were trying to make the Warriors and Clippers a thing, but that never really, you know, materialized. Nobody gives a fuck about that. And so
we thought Lakers Clippers was gonna be one, and neither team to stay healthy.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
So like I said, because I'm sitting here just looking at just all of the teams right now. We almost thought, you know, we thought we had something with Philly and Toronto, but now Toronto's not that good, so people aren't paying attention anymore. I think it's
Milwaukee, Miami still might be a little.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's more so Jimmy gonna just be on dummy with whoever he's playing.
Which is why, right? I love Jimmy.
That's just the type of nigga he is.
Yeah.
But I think as far as like a real rivalry, because even like with the way they tried to push this whole Knicks Hawk, like nobody, bro, stop. Like
two frauds.
Cut it the fuck out. Like, no, nobody was really serious with that.
Two frauds.
Like, if you weren't a Knicks fan or a Hawk fan, you weren't looking at like, oh yeah, this is the new NBA rivalry.
Hell no.
Like, no. It's like, stop.
Julius Randle versus Trae Young.
Yeah, like who niggas are lining up to see that? But no, I think it's really just more so the product may get better. You may see more exciting series, but as far as just an official rivalry, like those teams don't like each other, I'm not sure. We gotta take a look at, you know, the playoff matchups, and you know, a few years from now, you have a few teams who may have played like four or five playoff series against each other, and then we can call that a rivalry. But shit, off the top, I don't really see none.
I don't think there's any team rivalries. I will say one that could possibly be a player rivalry is Luka versus Ja, same conference. They've had a lot of battles. I think it would take a playoff series between the two teams to actually like cement it. But that could be a possible. I know everybody wanted Luka and Ja, I mean, Trey to be one, but that's not going to be one. Them niggas playing two separate conferences and them teams are never going to meet in the final. That shit ain't never happening. So I think that could be a potential for Ja and Luka. But I think more than anything, the thing the NBA that could look forward to is this is the closest we're going to get to parity, I feel, ever. Like last year, we got Milwaukee and Phoenix in the championship. So I think over the last two seasons, because this season, I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite. You can sell me on at least 4 to 5 teams winning it all this year right now in the NBA. So I think that plays in their favor for the first time. You don't look at the NBA as, oh, we already know who the fuck's going to be in the fucking finals. You know, it's going to be LeBron versus some other niggas. That's not really there anymore right now. So I think that's something that can help the NBA out in the future. But the NFL is king, man. And I think the NBA finally realized this year we can't compete with these niggas. By even pushing down their TNT show, which is the crown jewel of their entertainment, they stopped airing that shit to after Thursday Night Football went off. If anybody watched Thursday Night Football, that's when you get some of the most sorry ass matchups. Jacksonville versus Colts or some shit like that. And that shit would body Nets Lakers. That's just how big the NFL is right now. So the NBA can't compete with that. Football is America's new favorite pastime. It's not baseball, but I think this parody could probably help the NBA moving into the non-LeBron era that we're soon going to be entering to.
Yeah, that spitty mouth nigga, Mad Dog Russo, I was watching him earlier today. He made a very good point. He said, these leagues are worried about all the wrong things. He said, at its peak, Buffalo versus Kansas City had 51 million people watching.
51.
He said, and that's two small market teams in comparison to, you know, by Major League and NBA standards. Like, those are small market teams, and they have 51 million people watching. Like,
they had a stat on Cap today that 90% of the households in Kansas City had that game won. Like, it's fucking ridiculous just how much the NFL is bodying right now. And they've got a lot of young talent. We over here talking about fuck Brady and Rodgers because we got a new core of niggas who's going to be battling over the next decade. I don't think the NBA has that, but I do think not knowing, oh, we're going to get a LeBron or a Warriors or whoever the fuck in the finals is going to help them a little bit.
Yeah. But I think another thing that plays into that is that the writers and everybody, they just jock LeBron. Like the storylines and everything, the major shows and shit. If you're only talking about two or three people, how are fans going to really, you know, see these guys that they don't see in their market? You know what I'm saying? Like you got to make motherfuckers want to go get league pass. Like show them these Ja highlights, show them these other players, and they're like, okay, damn, hey, this is good. All right, let me add them to my league pass. Let me, you know, tap in when I see them on national TV. But if niggas is only talking about Steph, LeBron, you know, KD, the established stars, then you don't get that. I feel like with the NFL, they talk about who hot.
The NFL coverage is so much better than the NBA. And I think also the problem that the NBA has, them niggas pay too much attention to social media. And I'm not saying you shouldn't pay attention to social media. We're in 2022. It's a social media driven era. I get that. The NFL don't give a fuck about social media.
No.
They don't give a shit. They don't even try to give a shit. And it's too much. If you look at like the, you know, how they, you know how they did that little succession theme for the NBA at the beginning of the season? You had like all the major players with the players and even the media. Look at the NFL media heads. You respect them more. the Rich Eisens, the Pat McAfees, you know, the everybody looks forward to Baldy's breakdowns. Yeah. Everybody looks forward to and Ian Rappaport.
That matters to a lot too, because you got to think the one guy from the NBA side who was trying to be on NBA Twitter doing basketball breakdowns was Tim Legler, and they stopped letting him do it. And it's like, no, you need somebody, because like that's one of my favorite parts about football. That's why I've learned so much over the last couple of years.
The strategy behind
following old linemen and, you know, watching them break down the All-22 is one thing to watch it by yourself. Yeah. But to watch them break it down and tell you, but no, he was supposed to be covering this gap, and this is why he fucked up. It's the same thing with basketball. You're like, if a guy goes under a pick and roll on a shooter when he was supposed to, you know, try to fight through it, shit like that. Like, say that so that the, you know, the casual fan starts to pick up knowledge and understands what the fuck is going on.
And the NBA, you had now, I will say this about the NBA Today Show, I think is the outside, and I can't even say inside. Let's keep it a buck. Nobody watches inside for basketball analysis. We watch inside to watch these four old motherfuckers make drunk uncle jokes for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Niggas do not. I have not watched inside in at least 15 years. I'm like, oh, I'm getting some solid basketball analysis tonight,
bro. They spend more time probably sleep than watching the games, G. If you ever notice, they always got a video of one of them niggas sleep, like snoring.
And then Chuck come on, they're like, oh, well, I wouldn't pay attention to this bullshit that's on today. And TNT lets them get away with it because, like, imagine anybody else saying on their employer's network, fuck the games that we promoting tonight.
Yeah.
Only they can get away with it. But I say that probably the best show that actually talks about the game will probably be NBA Today. Like, you know, they got rid of Rachel Nichols. Nigga, we forgot about her ass. Like, somebody tweeted that the other day. I forgot she was on the earth. They like
blackball. They said go away.
They treated her like WWE treated Chris Benoit. Never happened. Like, and I feel like her was just more about Twitter shit. Malika Andrews, those people on there. As much as I don't like Perk, I feel like Perk has gotten a lot better.
A lot better.
A lot better. Richard Jefferson. They're actually talking about basketball, and I think that helps. But they need more outlets like that, and I think that's why the NFL is up. And Roger Goodell is running the score up on sports right now. He's running the score up. He's the Vince McMahon of sports right now. And it just is what it is. I don't think the NBA can compete with that. But like I said, the parity can help a little bit.
But I'm like, Adam Corleone is definitely struggling right now. My nigga. Did you see this new bullshit they're doing for the All-Star game?
Yes.
The Clutch Challenge.
What the fuck? Get the fuck out of here.
A three-game tournament? Is this the AAU? What is going on?
First of all, it's already in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And first of all, I don't want to go to Cleveland in July. My uncle's from Cleveland, but my uncle and Cleveland niggas love Cleveland. My uncle loves motherfucking Cleveland. And Cleveland, Ohio got some beautiful women, but nigga, All-Star Weekend for Cleveland? No. And then you're going to add this type of bullshit on it?
Grasping for straws. This nigga's lost it.
And the one thing the NBA always had in their pocket was they always had a cracking offseason. Nigga, the NFL offseason is now, there's a lot of moving parts now. So they even biting them and up and down. We up here sitting, the Super Bowl ain't even played yet. And we up here talking about what Rodgers and Brady going. Are they retiring? Is Rodgers going to lose? In the middle of the NBA season. So it's like they don't even get a break anymore. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but maybe the parity will help. As we wrap this up, let's start weekly power rankings. I'm going my five. For five, I'm going Memphis. Memphis still playing well, heading it, holding it down as a 3 seed right now in the West. Uh-huh. They got their ass handed to them by Dallas the last two times they played them, which is why I brought up the Ja and Luka thing. They've been having some pretty – well, the last game wasn't a blowout. It was a pretty close game. They've been having some pretty good games against each other, but they've lost both of them to Dallas. And I think that would be something that – and then they got blown out by Milwaukee the other week. That's why I have them in my five. Number four, Cleveland. I got to give it to Cleveland, though. I know we give Cleveland a lot of love on this show, but these niggas are 29-19. Darius Garland needs to be an all-star. He needs to be one of them all-star reserves. They're playing well. Bickerstaff got them playing, but they're playing defense. They're probably one of the biggest teams in the NBA. They're getting key wins. Couldn't beat the Bulls, which I thoroughly enjoyed. That was a big win for the Bulls for them last week. But Cleveland's going to be a major player, and I'm really trying to think what they're going to do around the trade market. Are they going to be like, we're going to try to, you know, compete and see if we can actually win a first-round playoff series? So I put Cleveland number four. Three, I'm going to go with Dallas. Dallas has been playing very well over these last couple of weeks. Jason Kidd's finally playing, and they're buying in the kid. They're playing defense. Luka, you can tell Luka's lost some weight. Luka's gotten more into game shape, and Luka's looking like the Luka of old, and that's helped a lot for them. And they're top four seed in the West Conference right now. Two, I'm going to go with Miami. Miami has been playing ball. They just started getting their guys back. Jimmy's back. Bam has been back for a couple games now. The number one seed in the Eastern Conference right now. They're going to be getting Kyle Lowry back soon. They're going to be getting Marquise Morris back soon. They're going to be having full squad really, really soon. And I really feel like that's the team that people are sleeping on the most in the Eastern Conference. Everybody's talking about, like, actually the Bulls getting talked about more than Miami, honestly, when it comes to, you know, actually making it to the finals. Miami is a team that I would not want to see. You know, they've got guys like Jimmy Butler, who's not going to die. It's a Pat Riley type team. And Exposure is one of the best coaches in the league. They play hard. They've got great three-point shooters. I really don't see a weakness in that fucking team. I think the only weakness is, can they stay healthy? So I'll put them number two. Number one, I'm going to go Phoenix. Phoenix has been playing well. Phoenix is now about four games up on the top spot over Golden State. And they're still waiting for Ayton to come back. And they've been playing holding it down pretty much. The book's been good. You know, I don't like that start, say, farm agent, but we all talk about how LeBron's been playing well in year 19. We got to start talking about how well Chris Paul's playing in year 17. So I got to give it to Phoenix. Phoenix be my number one.
Yeah. We got the same five teams. It's a little different order. I got Memphis 5. I got Dallas 4. Miami 3. I got Cleveland 2. I think Evan Mobley, you know, really should have been a discussion. He probably should have been number one pick, even though I think Cunningham is going to be nice. But probably should have been the number one pick. And number one, I got Phoenix. Like you said, 7 straight, 9 out of their last 10. Chris Paul's playing at the MVP level. So right now, you know, 37 and 8?
Yeah, it's like 30-something. Because I know they like
37-9. 37-9, 3.5 game lead in the West. Yeah, I got them as number one.
Definitely, man. That's all we got for y'all. Oh, by the way, Dante, Dan Quinn will be in person at Hallis Hall tomorrow for his second interview, Brad Big said. Meeting face-to-face with new Bears GM, Ryan Poles. Y'all should, this nigga's disgusting. Oh shit, this man is disgusting.
I was gonna say, if this wasn't my only computer, I would have threw this motherfucker. You just said that.
Yes, Brad Big tweeted it while we was recording. I was like, I'm gonna say this for the end of the show.
I can't believe this shit.
It's really finna happen, Dan Quinn, man. Oh
wow.
Oh man, look out for that 79th of Hallis episode that will be coming. Who knows? He might be the coach by the time y'all niggas listen to this. Who knows? Who fucking knows, man? So look out for that. Oh. You know where to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BarbChessScott at October's on Tay. Check out our Euphoria recap, recapping episode 3 of season 2 on our Patreon, patreon.com/BarbChessNetwork. Man, we appreciate y'all. We'll holler at y'all next week, man. We out.